2 years later, and we're still here and queer.
At this point, you should be used to it.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Salutations, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can access our live stream every Monday night at 6:30-ish by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, we're going to kick off our new segment, Tales from the Tale, the second segment in collaboration with Dr. Evan Goldstein of Bespoke Surgical. He'll be joining us during the second half of the show. My name is Tom, and I'm your host, and as always, I'm here with my two crazy bitches, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
We nailed it today.
That's right. 2 years. Oh, 2 years. We should have got it down eventually.
So, yeah. So, it's been 2 years since we've been on the air. Well, at least transmitting on Digital Stream Radio, probably about a year. But overall, our podcast is 2 years old.
And it's given me as much gray hair as Barack Obama got in 2 years. That's how I feel.
Well, that's only because you and Trish just go at it religiously.
Well, she's nasty.
It's not my fault. Nasty. It's not my fault that I'm nasty. Like I said earlier to Tom, your parents put you on a leash when you were younger, and we still need that leash.
Why? Do we need to let him know that we were even having that conversation? Like, seriously?
Why did I ever let you people know that? That was sometimes I make mistakes, and that would be one of them.
No, to this day, every time I walk into Home Depot and I see a toilet display, I think of you.
You try to poop in a display toilet one time when you're like 3 years old, and it just sticks with you.
I mean, yeah. It kind of does.
I can understand why, though. I mean, it's clearly...
I was super proud of myself. I was like, I'm a big boy. I gotta go. I'm gonna use this toilet.
So
she stopped me in time. My mom stopped me in
time.
Okay,
so you didn't like...
Wait, did you get your pants down?
The pants are on my ankles. Oh, yeah, the pants were down. And I had a big smile on my face, but no, she stopped me before it happened.
Oh, my God, I kind of wish it happened.
Because I would have loved to see, like...
And he could have just been like a...
The reaction of the employees.
Three-year-old, I'm sorry, I have IBS.
I can't. I really can't. So how are you, boys?
Good.
I feel like it's been, I don't know, like lately, every time I see you guys, it feels like it's been a year since I last saw you guys. I don't know why.
Well, super busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Super busy.
So I
adulthood.
Have, yeah, I know. I have a couple of weeks of break from school. So another, 7 or 8 weeks? And Christopher, you're about to come up on a break soon, aren't you?
I'm on my 1 week break right now, yes.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel good?
It was, like I said to you guys, but when I woke up this morning, right before I woke up from a nightmare thinking I was late for my history midterm, and I'm like, girl, relax. You don't got school today. Wipe the sweat off and go back to sleep. You're good.
I just got done with my history class, and I ended up getting 100% on that.
World Civ, right?
Yeah, World Civilization. And so, perfect score.
Proud of you.
I'm keeping tally, you know? I'm trying to keep my GP up. I'm trying to make the dean's list.
You're gonna.
Yeah, so
get
I hope so.
Get it. If you're going to do it right.
That's right. So another thing that happened over this particular weekend, we had the annual New Haven St. Patrick's Day Parade. In previous years, we've done drunken episodes. We weren't promising anything this year because we were just like, oh my God. But it was a fun weekend overall. So I'll let Nick tell us a little bit about his weekend, and then we'll talk about the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Oh, nothing really happened for me this weekend that much. I mean, I went to my good friends, Jen and Meg, host St. Patty's Party in Milford every year, and I went to that, which was a lot of fun.
That was a big group of people, girl.
Yeah, no, it grows every year. It's I think this was the fourth or fifth annual one. No, it's got to be the fifth or sixth, because I've been going to it for 5 years or ish, whatever.
Math is hard.
She'll get it, yeah.
But it's a blast. We have a good time. It's a bunch of, there are a bunch of lesbians and then two gay men. Well, no, there are a couple more gay men too, but we just, it's fun and we have a blast and we talked a lot about gay stuff, which was also really fun.
Well, that's normal for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all you talk about.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's true. I talk about it all the time.
So, and then, go ahead.
And then I worked St. Patty's Day.
How was that? It was crazy. It was a little crazy this year. As it is many other years, because the The kicker around St. Patrick's Day, at least the parade in New Haven, is the amount of liquor people drink. Yeah. I mean, it gets crazy.
Luckily, we didn't have anybody throwing up during my shift. Usually, my shift is the babysitting shift.
Yeah,
so I do
the night shift.
Yeah, I do. I go in at 7 and I leave. Well, we close at 1. Mm-hmm. But no one. I had to cut a couple people off, but no one.
No pukers?
No pukers. No,
that's great.
But I will tell you this, though. The wall suffered yet another accident.
Did
this
someone
year.
Drive into the fucking wall again?
Yes.
Yeah, this time they just knocked down the whole pillar. I'm
leave
like,
it down. Tear down that wall.
Like, seriously, tear down that goddamn wall.
Yeah, that's right. Get rid of it because people just keep smashing into it.
Every year for St. Patrick's Day, that
and
a
they
piece
drive
of that wall
away. They
down.
Drive away. I'm like, your car cannot be in any condition to drive right
that's
now.
That's fine. It's fine. We'll just buff it out tomorrow. That's exactly how it is.
I mean, it's a cement. So we have a cement wall that barricades the street from the parking lot of the bar that we mm-hmm. work at. And every year, at the end of the wall where you enter the parking lot, somebody knocks into the wall on St. Patty's Day. And I don't know why they rebuild it, but it happens every year.
It's okay. We're going to build a new one and Mexico is going to pay for it. It'll
yeah,
be fine.
Right.
It'll be fine. It's a guarantee. You know, it's funny that no one threw up because out of the 5 years I worked downtown at Patty's Day Parade, I stepped in vomit 4 of those 5 years. So I'm super proud of the people for at least holding it until they got home.
Yeah, it's...
And can I say there was one person, I'm going to put this out there because you know who I'm talking about. His shirt said, drink like a fish.
Oh, God.
And yeah. I was super surprised that that person...
Was sober.
Was sober.
Well, she had to work.
Not sober,
she had to work.
Oh, that's
so
true.
So she got out at 4 o'clock. She goes like, girl, I just got here and I need to catch up. And I'm like, catch up? What are you going to do? Just sit at the bar and just fucking down shots like one after the other for the next hour?
Yup.
Yeah.
Three years ago. Sorry, go ahead.
Never play the game of catch up. It never works.
And it never ends well.
No.
3 years ago, I'm halfway through a conversation with that individual. Halfway. We were talking for about 20 minutes. And I think about 20 minutes into our conversation, I was like, wait a minute. You don't know who I am right now, do you? That's how fucking messed up this person was. No idea who I was. And we've known each other for years.
Yeah.
Oh, it's incredible.
Disaster.
Though. It's incredible to see like normal people that you normally would see out on a regular basis who normally have a couple of cocktails and can get very, edgy or slightly tipsy. But to see them smashed, oh, it's just priceless.
Yeah.
Because to see them not be able to function, it's just like, oh my God.
It is pretty hilarious.
Wow. Yeah. It was an interesting St. Patty's Day parade. I do say that there was more people at this one than there were last year. Because last year was bitterly cold. This
yeah,
year
yeah,
it was
yeah.
more like around 45, 46.
A couple of years ago, it was gorgeous.
Oh, it was like 60 outside.
And
I remember.
I think I walked out of that bar that night with $5.50 in my pocket.
Don't say that to me.
Yeah, I was like, don't say that over the air. They're going to be waiting for you next year. I know I will be.
Well, like, if it's money. Warm, then wait for me.
Hello.
Hello.
No, but it's good. It's good. You know, it's an overall great time. It is one of the biggest St. Patrick's Day parades in the Northeast.
I think my favorite part of the night, though.
Yeah.
So Tom was setting up for karaoke.
Oh, I was hammered.
I looked at him, and he looked at me. You know when you look at somebody and you're like, oh, there's not much behind those eyes? I was like, are you drunk? He's like,
yeah.
Can I get a bottle of water? I was like, okay. Yeah. Because he had gone out earlier to like hang out with our friends.
Oh, I hung around with a whole bunch of people, and we were doing shots, and I was drinking tequila.
On the rocks.
On the rocks with lime. Nothing else. And that's because my ex was there with his lover, and he had his drink. He goes like, I can't drink anymore. Here, drink this. I had just gotten to the bar. And I'm like, okay. So I started drinking that. I'm like, you know what? I better stick to it. So I just kept pounding back, you know, Patron Silver with lime.
And then I just started giving him bottles of water.
Yeah. And then we of course have our meetings every so often. Mm-hmm. You want to care to explain what the meetings are?
I don't know if that's appropriate for air.
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably right. not.
Yeah, we won't talk about meetings. But if you want to know what it is, just email us. We'll tell you. No, but overall, it was a good weekend. So we've got a lot to cover. We're super excited. We've got a new segment, Tales from the Tale, mm-hmm. which starts today with Dr. Evan Goldstein.
We love him.
You know, he did our last segment was from top to bottom. And we did the
said it right.
Yeah.
You did. Proud of him.
I know.
Tommy, can you say LGBTQ?
LGBTQ?
Proud of you.
Remember when he had the sign? Oh my God, when we started the podcast, he had the sign right next to his computer that literally in order said LGBTQ. And I'm like, LGBTQ plus. Yeah. And I could not, literally, how long was that up there? A good 6 months.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was
it
a highlight.
It took me
a while.
It was a highlight.
I stumble over my words sometimes. It's common, you know. It's
bilingual. It's
speaking
exactly.
cursive.
Exactly. And it's exactly. fucking elegant.
Exactly. It's an underrated skill. It's an underrated skill.
Though we have it down to a T, though.
Indeed, indeed. Yes. He did forget to ask how my weekend was, though. He did just
start
to move on.
I'm not going there.
Well, we were moving on.
So,
but I felt left out.
Well, okay.
I felt left out.
Well, here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Thank you.
He don't listen no more.
She don't want to tell us about her weekend. She don't want to tell us about the fact that she gets plowed down every weekend as she goes down to Long Island.
Okay, first of all.
If that's not the version of your weekend that you're going to give us, then we're not interested.
No, I want to talk about something that happened today.
Okay.
Shout out to Mama Scott. Thanks for tuning in and listening today.
Oh, no, she's not. Oh, my God,
no. No, that's not at all what happens.
Okay. Sorry, Mama.
As we were leaving, as I was leaving Long Island today, I was like, oh, my gas tank's getting low. So I pulled up to a gas station. You know, I hop out of the car. I undo my gas tank and I start to go reach for the gas pump. And someone starts sprinting at me. It's like, hey. And I'm like, can I help you? And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm in New York. You're not allowed to do this yourself. They pump your gas. It's against the law.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
That's Jersey.
No, it's at least on Long Island. But someone was sprinting at me, and I thought I was about to get mugged outside of a gas station in New York.
Oh, I only thought they did that in Jersey.
No, nope.
I know they do it in Jersey. Jersey.
This is a great start.
I did not know they do it in Long Island. But yeah. I want to go back a little bit. Wait, so is Bobby's mom actually listening to the show right now?
I believe so.
This is great. Oh, my God.
So she heard about the toilet? And the leash?
I was like,
yeah.
I was a little kid. I'm more tamed now, and I poop in proper places.
Oh, feel free to buy him a leash now and keep him on it, please.
I love how he just felt the need to explain himself.
So does that mean that we have to be on our best behavior throughout
the
whole episode? I'm sorry, Mama. It's just like, I can't.
We got a job to do.
Yeah, we do.
At the end of the day, we have a job to
do.
We don't get paid for it, but we got a job to do.
But we appreciate the fact that you're listening, and that's beautiful. So now, tell us about your weekend.
No, that's really the story I just wanted to say, that I thought I was going to get mugged outside of a gas station today.
And then he wonders why I passed.
Well, because I worked all weekend, but I thought that was hilarious.
I love you. I do.
Can we just fucking move away vagina, from this, please?
Yeah.
Vagina boob.
Anyway, so speaking of St. Paddy's Day, this weekend is actual St. Paddy's Day. And in honor of St. Paddy's Day, Chris is going to tell you about our wonderful cocktail that we have put together for you.
If you really want to get messy on St. Paddy's Day, or any day, these are available any time of the year, we highly recommend an Irish Car Bomb.
Which
they're delicious.
We usually do as shots, but, you know, so we did do the shots, but then we're going to move on and do something else. Go ahead.
Yeah, so they're delicious, they're nutritious, they're just good for you all, overall.
Can you explain to me how they're nutritious?
Yeah, I would like
go ahead.
Whiskey is good for your liver.
Uh-huh.
Bailey's is good for your brain, like Nugenix.
In small quantities?
Nugenix, is that what it's called? Prevagen, like the stuff found in jellyfish. It's also found in Bailey's. And Guinness is a good milk substitute.
Why are we
I made all this up. Are you serious?
Wait,
come
wait.
On. No.
Why are we having Dr. Goldstein on again?
Exactly. I got this right here. Okay. No, so we'll stay on track. An Irish Car Bomb, you fill a shot glass with Jameson and Bailey's, and you drop that into a glass full of Guinness, and you go ahead and chug. It is absolutely mandatory that it does spill down the sides of your lips. That's important. It has to be a messy drink, but there you go. Pound a couple of those and you're good to go.
It's alcohol.
Good to go. Yeah.
Welcome.
It's not pouring down anywhere. But anyway, we're also, because we bought Guinnesses, we're drinking Guinnesses as well.
Guinness Eye?
Guinness. I think it's
Guinness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guinness. That was racist.
Wait, hold on.
That was not how I meant it.
It's usually him saying
that
Guinea.
To me.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm from East Haven. I live in East Haven now.
Oh, Lord,
that was more racist.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Okay. Moving on before
we're
I get in trouble.
Moving on. We definitely need to move on. All right, so we've got a couple of stories that we'd like to cover. We're probably going to get to one, maybe two of them before we go on break, because when we come back, we have Dr. Evan Goldstein. So I'm going to let my boys pick a story, either Nick or Chris, and they're going to run with it.
Oh, you're giving us the option?
Yes.
Aww. All right. Want to flip a coin, Chris, or do you want to take it? Or do you want me to take it?
Heads I win, tails you lose.
Okay, flip that coin.
No, you
well,
just
we're
go.
Definitely not okay. having your tails.
No,
so heads
go ahead.
Win.
All right. So we all know that we hate the Westboro Baptist Church.
Right? Fuck her. Oh,
yes. Fuck
yeah,
her.
They're a hot mess, and they're like one of the biggest international hate groups that I'm aware of.
I don't even know why they still have their non, like, tax exempt status.
They're essentially terrorists,
yeah.
These people.
So the Westboro Baptist Church had a rally today. And what they rallied against was a gay high school student.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this gay high school student is a football player. He lives in Missouri. So this morning, the Westboro Baptist Church picketed an openly gay high school football player. Missouri star running back Jake Bain came out as gay in February.
And we're proud of that.
Yes, we are proud of that. Claps. The church immediately vowed to picket him, calling him the school's smirking, proud fag child. In response, his classmates held their own protests in support. So they get claps
proud
as well.
Proud of them, exactly.
And that's amazing, mm-hmm. You know, to see that that schools and students are coming together in support and to defend something that just shouldn't be an issue at this point.
Well,
anymore.
Especially in lieu with what's going on.
Exactly.
You know, we're 200 plus shootings since Columbine or something like that. You know, schools are standing up to care for one another, their own community. So that's beautiful.
Yeah. And I think what's really amazing about it is you're seeing something that probably, and when I was in high school, I probably would have never seen. Mm-mm. You're seeing a woke generation standing up for human rights.
Right.
For human rights that otherwise wouldn't have been stood up for years previously. And that's so powerful, especially in the state of Missouri.
That's right. What I'm saying. Exactly. I was just about to say, yep. This is middle America. I mean, yeah. This is the belt of our country.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to slam, you know, that belt or Missouri or any countries. I'm just saying that in those countries, you do find more racism,
protections against discrimination.
Yeah, but you also, what's the word I'm looking for? We're a melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not as much diversity. Thank you, diversity. I got it.
You did. Proud of you. Words are hard.
There's not as much diversity in those states. So having these people come up and stand up for this person it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing.
So Jake said, "I wanted to show people around St. Louis and everywhere else that you can be whoever you want to be." Over 200 students held the counter rally. I don't know how many people from the church were there, but there
probably were probably 12.
But there were over 200 students there supporting Jake, which was amazing. He also followed that up with saying, "I was able to realize that if an international hate group is coming after me and my community, then we must be doing something right."
That's true.
It's true.
Absolutely.
It's true. I mean, but when you think about this organization and all the crazy things they've done, I mean,
it's a cult. It's a cult. Don't even give it an organization. It's a cult.
These haters are literally going out and protesting against servicemen and women who have fallen and who have been brought home and are in the process of being buried, and they go out and they picket at the cemetery while their family members are trying to bury their loved
one. I'm pretty sure they picketed at Matthew Shepard's.
Yeah, of course they did. Yeah. And George Takei once, he shared something, I believe, was it on Twitter? I believe it was on Twitter or Instagram, and it said, "Live life so full, the Westboro Baptist Church. Pickets your funeral." And I'm like, hell yeah, show up. Yeah. Show up, because I lived a good life, and I helped others, and I worked hard to make sure that I could spread happiness and joy.
And I'm super gay and proud of it.
Exactly.
And I will always be.
And I mean, these people called this kid, this student, this high school student, mm-hmm. a smirking, proud fag child. Like, how is this organization a religion? How can you follow something that is going to denigrate somebody like that? Mm-hmm. That it's just disgusting. He's a kid.
Well, they're a hateful organization. There's no other way to describe it.
It's a cult. And that is cult. Getting federal exemptions from taxes.
Yeah, and they should be paying taxes.
I agree. And this, you know what's this Jake Bain coming out as a football player in high school. Like,
that's a beautiful thing.
But there's so much strength
and power behind that. Mm-hmm. The message that it sends to the rest of our country and students that are in high school, because we all know that high school, at least for me, was one of the most difficult eras of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to find myself, trying to go through puberty, trying to figure out where I fit in the world, and then knowing who I was and being out to some and not to others. And although I was very open about my sexuality, there were still those certain times where you encounter certain people and you're like, yeah, maybe I better not, you know, queen out over here because, you know, this might be an issue.
Right.
But that was common for me. So I would only imagine what it's like for the rest of these youngsters that are growing up in today's world.
Well, I played football. We all know that I played football in high school.
Yeah, she's the wide end.
But when I decided to come out of the closet, I walked away from football because football is this masculine, intense, bro-y family community, right? So it made sense for my own being to walk away from it. However, when I did come out, my teammates were very supportive. But this right here, he came out. He's still a football player. He's still a part of that family, and his family's embracing that.
Right,
and that is the beauty in it.
Exactly, and it's almost as if he's becoming those two words I love, accidental activist again, because it's showing, especially in middle America, where they're not exposed to this. And you said there's not so much diversity. It's showing that, yeah, I'm a gay man, but I'm just like everyone else. I'm a football star. I'm on the robotics team. I'm in the debate club. I'm in the Gay Straight Alliance. Like, there's nothing that says I have to do something or be a part of any other group just because I'm gay. I can do anything different. And all these people have there's the chance that they are gay too. Like, yep. You're not stuck or stereotyped to one group.
And he's also teaching kids in his high school, internationally, nationally, that being gay doesn't mean that you have to embrace all of the feminine parts.
Absolutely.
Of our community.
Right.
Some people do, and that's amazing, and that's great. Clearly, Trish does.
Yes.
I do.
Mm-hmm. There's no question about that.
But, right. But he has chosen to continue to do something that he loves and that he's good at, and that's a very masculine sport. And so he's breaking down walls of stereotypes.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing what he's doing. I mean, there's so many layers to this. We could go on for hours, but I'm just super proud of him.
Yeah.
And I think we should give him claps again.
You get claps.
I think it's wonderful. All right, so listen, I knew that we would only probably get through one story before we would have to go to break, but we do want to make sure that we're prompt because our guest is going to be Skyping in to talk about our newest segment and the story that he has to tell. It's going to be very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And amazing. And very alarming sometimes for a lot of us, but we'll get into that as soon as we come back from our break. So here's some music, and we'll be right back.
To pull you up above the earth, well, I will lift you up to show you just how much you're worth, 'cause we need to be loved. So we need to be loved. If I
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from our break. That was the incredible Anthony Starbo with We Need to Be Loved. I say this every week. I love that song. I'm sorry. It gets to my heart. And now, all right.
Great,
now
Tom.
Now for the task at hand. Joining us again, once again, for our new segment, Tales from the Tail, is Dr. Evan Goldstein. It's great to have you join us once again, and thank you. So welcome to the show again.
Thanks.
Evidently, you're not loud enough.
There we go.
Am I loud now?
Oh, yeah.
There you are.
So, welcome back. How have you been?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks again for having me.
It's our pleasure. It's always fun to have you come and tell us a little bit about your stories. We had talked about the segment that we're creating surrounding your experiences with your patients. And today's tale is seriously something that...
It's intense.
It's very intense. And we're happy that you're here to discuss it with us.
Sure. No, thanks again for having me. So where do you guys want to start?
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about, give us the synopsis of the story and then jump into it and tell us about how you engaged this patient and talk about the situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was quite interesting, you know, a lot of multifaceted issues that surrounded this story. Must have been like a 40-year-old gentleman who was closeted and had a terrible first experience, basically kind of an anal bullying, as I would say, where, you know, a partner of his, a boyfriend of his, who obviously he didn't really know how aggressive the boyfriend was, you know, started to engage anally with him. And then it really took kind of a life of its own, where he wound up getting quite seriously injured, bleeding, tearing, painful. And he was closeted at the time, a little bit older in age of starting to bottom, and didn't really know where to turn, really understood the severity of the situation, and then wound up, you know, breaking up with the boyfriend, which was the first thing that he did.
Proud of him.
Yes, exactly. And then wound up seeking some help. He went to the emergency room. They diagnosed him with a tear and some hemorrhoids associated with that. And then over time did heal, but it wound up really taking him a considerable amount of time to get back to his norm. And a lot of it was a mental issue. You can imagine kind of really being taken advantage of in that way. And then having an outcome like that as one of your first experiences engaging anally.
So just to give a quick breakdown for our listeners, the situation that happened here was basically that the boyfriend at the time sort of kind of forced himself too much during the course of sex. He just basically just rammed it in.
Correct.
And ended up injuring his partner. And then this partner throughout the course of the many years that it has taken to recuperate has had a lot of issues, both mentally surrounding the experience.
Totally, 100%. Okay. And then, you know, finally he met a new boyfriend whom was so amazing to him and endearing and really supportive of his, you know, tackling his issues, but also wanting to get back to bottoming. And during that time, that tear that supposedly healed would just chronically cause him issues, where it was painful during sex, he was bleeding, it was irritated, and he really felt in love with this guy and said, you know what, why don't I go see someone and get it fixed?
Was it re-tearing constantly or just
Yeah, exactly. And it's super common because what happens is this acute fissure, this kind of acute tear over time forms scar tissue. That just the scar tissue is not strong enough.
Okay.
So even shitting can tear it, you know, and then just imagine if somebody's getting more aggressive with intercourse, it's quite easily rippable.
So if a person that has experienced this and is in that time period or that period in life and where he wants to reengage with his partner and start bottoming again, what recommendations do you have so that it's still pleasurable for both, but still safe enough for the person that has experienced this damage to their rectum?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think if it happens initially, you can do a lot of medical management. So you can do some creams, some ointments, suppositories, things like that to kind of edge this along so that it can heal the right way.
Okay.
And then in his case, it wasn't that. He tried to do that. It healed initially. But once he started to engage anally, it kept re-tearing. So he went to a surgeon and had a procedure done where they cleaned out that tear so it could heal the right way. And then again, he was in tremendous amount of pain post-surgery. It finally healed over, even he was told originally that it was going to be about 3 months of not bottoming, and it wound up being almost 9 months to a year. And then he came to see me bottoming. He's having sex currently. He feels good having sex. There's no more tearing. It's healed. The problem is it looks funky.
Can I ask yeah. a question? So I read the post and or the blog. The first half of it, was that his writing, his story, or were
it's
you
my reenactment?
Okay. Now, so say he had come to you first to have this surgery. Why is your surgery to fix the situation better than the surgery that took him almost 9 months to a year to recover from?
I don't know necessarily that mine would be better. I think the person that did it did what they needed to do at that time and would have done what I would have done. I think I would have added a little bit. They did not give him Botox post-surgery to give him that relaxation. So one of the things that I would have done at the time was would have given him Botox into the muscle to allow things to relax.
Okay.
You know, also knowing his history of having significant pain from the initial trauma, I probably would have given him kind of a local anesthesia that lasted longer than just a day or, you know, 5 to 6 hours. I would have done one that lasts about 5 to 7 days. Okay. So there's certain things that I would have added, but I'm not sure that my initial outcome would be much different than what his current outcome is now.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That makes complete sense. Yeah.
And again, he went back to see that surgeon, explaining to them that, look, you know, I'm able to take it. It feels pleasurable. The problem is that it psychologically, it just looks so damaged
right.
that it turns me off. And then when I get turned off, you know, I'm not erect. I can't get off. And then it just winds up being a major issue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that other surgeon evaluated and said, look, the fissure, the cut that you came to me for is completely healed. It looks good. It's healthy. I would just leave all alone. And then he wound up searching online to kind of find me and kind of try and come up with a different situation that would allow him resolution in this, you know, issue.
Okay. So now, I've heard of – no, go ahead, because I have a question after. You can do your follow-up.
No. So basically – so what I'm understanding is that although his issue was resolved as far as the tear. Medical and the tear issue, the mental aspect of it was still bothering him to the point where he couldn't at this point have a healthy mental interaction with his partner because of the self-consciousness. Being self-conscious about right. what he had experienced to begin with,
well,
and the end result of what it looked like after.
And there's also the element, like, at the end of the day, let's be honest, it's a butthole, right? We all know that a butthole is a butthole, and it's not going to be the prettiest thing. But as a gay man, there is an element, I mean, hashtag hole pick, right? So there's an element that we want our butthole to look a certain way so that it's attractive to another gay male. So that in itself probably caused him a lot of mental issues if it wasn't looking the way that he wanted it to look while engaging in intercourse.
No, 100%. And I think that the key is that what winds up happening is that it may not necessarily be what it looks like right from the onset, but as you start engaging, as the muscles start relaxing, as the hemorrhoids start kind of filling up with blood that's there, the aesthetics kind of change. And you could see that the longer I was sitting with him looking at everything that was going on, you could see that things were worsening from an aesthetic perspective, which was normal physiology in everybody. But with him and his other scar, it just started to look different. Mm-hmm. And so, again, the other surgeon was right. You know, what you came to me for was healed. And so, you know, why are we now going to do other things purely from an aesthetic component? And that was what kind of prompted the visit to me. And I posed it to people on the blog, you know, because there's no right answer here. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of a discussion that I looked at him and I said, look, you know, you could either go on with life and try and figure out how we can work on a psyche mental aspect to get you to engage the way that you want to, or we can tackle other things or anally around the area that would hopefully augment or change, you know, the way that it looks so that you feel happier. And knowing what you did before, knowing the pain that you're in, the psychological trauma, all of that, you know, maybe if I just give you a new complete asshole that you're able to move on, you know, because clearly when he looks at it, that's the only thing he sees is his old boyfriend beating the shit out of him.
Right. So when I think about what you've just said, I think about other procedures, for example, that and this is very common in women who have, for example, breast augmentation, and they get their breast enlarged to feel more confident about themselves or to feel better about themselves. So is it safe to say that at this point the previous doctor had taken care of the underlying medical need of what he was going through, and at this point, he's sort of kind of looking for cosmetics or a cosmetic procedure to sort of kind of help him with his trauma of making him feel better.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that there, you know, the nice thing about the anal area is that you could always make kind of a medical plan because there are hemorrhoids there, because there's extra skin that's there, you know, insurance can kind of work with us to take care of the current problem that's there. But a lot of the issues that I see specifically with him is not a functional issue. It's more of a mental issue and it's more of an aesthetic issue. And how can we, and again, you know, you look at it and say, you know, if I were to do surgery, I'm causing more trauma, right? Now he has to go through a whole nother surgery, a whole nother recovery. The last recovery was a year. Do I want to put him out of the game for a full year? No. Yeah. But that was the question. And I kind of posed it to everybody to say, what would you do? And it was interesting, you know, about 64% of people would go under the knife. And, you know, and the remainder 37% said that they wouldn't proceed. So it was kind of an interesting Instagram poll to really see where people fell into this.
So do you work with people? Do you have any like psychiatrists or people that some of your patients could see to sort of kind of start the process of possibly taking an alternate route to as opposed to surgery? Because I mean, this is very common even in the LGBT community when men start transitioning and they go through that transition period and they want to transition into being a woman. There's a lot of psychological evaluations that need to happen, that they need to sort of kind of go through to make sure that what they're wanting or what they want to do is truly what they want. So do you work with anyone, in regards to that?
Yeah, I have tons of referrals that I use in both New York and Los Angeles that hit this issue. You know, a lot of these people that come to me already are seeing people trying to work through the trauma that they went through before and coming out of the closet and all the issues surrounding that. So a lot of it is a discussion to make sure that their support system is exactly where they need it to be. Mm-hmm. And also that they've really thought through all the medical and surgical ramifications to make sure that what I'm doing and everybody wants to help, you know, I want to help, but the reality is that, you know, sometimes the outcome that what you're thinking versus what I'm capable of doing surgically may not fully 100% align. So it's having everybody understand the expectations. And one of the things that I said was, you know, in this gentleman, there's kind of two areas that I can remove, one on the left side, one on the right side, that would give that contour, you know, a much better look. And I said, you know, one thing to do is to start with just one side. The recovery is much easier. We would be able to see how you heal. You'd be able to see the cosmetic result on one side and really get an understanding as to, oh, you know what? I really like this. This is where I want to go. Let's do the other side. Or not. It would be like, you know what? I don't think it's really changing that much. But it was kind of, you know, you want to help everybody. And you have to kind of sometimes think outside the box to really figure out what's the best approach. And the surgical approach may not be the best approach. And I don't know, you know, he hasn't chosen at this point one way or another. It'd be interesting to do kind of a follow up and see. But again, you know, it's the trying to figure out the aesthetic component with the least amount of surgery and the least amount of trauma caused by me so that it could heal the right way and get people back.
Right. In your post, you said that on either side, there was a hemorrhoid that you wanted to repair, correct?
Mm-hmm, correct.
So now if you were to go ahead and repair those hemorrhoids, what in your mind, or what's your goal, your end goal? Like how can you see that benefiting the person versus not having the surgery?
Sure. So where their surgery was is a really big scar. So what happens is that there's like, if you think of a clock or you think of a hole, there's kind of like a divot on one side of the hole. So at like 12 o'clock on a clock, there's kind of like, you know, an etching out.
Okay.
So what happens is those two hemorrhoids that are on the side, as you start to engage and have anal intercourse, they start getting swollen. So they get bigger and bigger and bigger. So what happens is that etching, that carving, gets deeper and deeper and deeper. I don't know if I'm explaining it so well, but it just winds up being where, you know, a complete circle is not complete anymore. It just doesn't look, it just, there's just two kind of balloons that are sitting there,
yep,
creating this aesthetic component. Mm-hmm. And so the question says is that, you know, I'm not going to get rid of that scar. I'm not going to get rid of that divot that's there. But if I get rid of those two balloons, then in essence, I can kind of reshape everything so that it now looks uniform.
And also it prevents the
post, swelling.
The post look, because after it swells, you know, you're getting a correct different sensation, a different feel, a different look. So if correct you eliminate those issues, then it chances are he's just going to be looking at what he was looking prior to the swelling occurring.
Absolutely. And then I also think that, you know, as he engages more, there's a lot more swelling. And because there's more swelling, he becomes more self-conscious. And then he can't keep his dick hard. And then it winds up being right, he can't get off. So it's this kind of constant, you know, cycle of issues that can hopefully be, you know, treated the way that I'm proposing.
So I want to share a story. But before I do that, I know that Chris had something.
It was already answered.
Was it already answered? Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right, so I want to share a story, which is kind of relevant to this tale, which I'm surprised I'm sharing. So I actually think I listened. So before we even had our first conversation, I watched a bunch of videos about you, and you were talking about anal.
Of course you did.
I know. Well, I mean, I do my research.
Hashtag obsessed.
But so you were talking about anal fissures and how anal fissures can cause skin tags and in the anal area, which could change the look of your butthole, right? So mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that happened to me. I'm just going to put it out there on the table. So I have a skin tag in that area, and I don't find my butthole attractive at all. Like, I don't want to share it with people. Like, I don't, like, people, you know, they're always like, send me a hole pic or send me an ass pic.
Who asked for that, to be honest?
I mean, like, on social, like, when you're on Grindr
no,
and stuff. But
no,
like,
one has ever asked me to send them a hole pic, nor have I ever asked
but it's
anyone.
A thing. It is a
nor
thing, though.
Do they ever want to see one.
It's a thing, though. Am I wrong here? It's a thing.
Oh, it's
oh
a
no, no,
thing.
No. It happens.
I get a ton of hole pics, believe me.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. But like,
what do you think about that? Do you think you could take a little of that off?
He can.
Exactly.
Well, I can tell you this. He constantly like refers to his butthole as going through a meat mincer.
I said
this
that one time, and now yeah, you keep repeating
yeah,
it.
It's more the constancy here.
Yeah.
The point that I'm trying to get at here is in the post, he put it out there. He's like, well, what would you do? Would you have the surgery? Would you not have the surgery? I mean, I'm not in my 40s. You know, I'm in my 30s, and I would rather look at my butthole as something that I'm not proud of, but happy to share with somebody else. So the cosmetic aspect is a huge part to me, and I personally would definitely do the surgery. And I think that's why I wanted to share the story, because it's for me, sexually, it's important to know how people receive it. Especially, I've had men say, you know, you have a skin tag. And I'm like, yes, I'm aware. I'm highly aware. And it's not, that's not a, I mean, it was a boyfriend, and it's not a fun conversation to have. It's kind of embarrassing almost. Mm. So the cosmetic aspect of that whole thing is really important, especially for homosexual men that take it up the butt.
Well, you also have to keep in mind too, that not many people are aware of all the things that could happen
right
to your butthole. And so when you encounter someone, for example, like your boyfriend that you had to have a conversation, when they look at it and they're like, like, there's something wrong here.
Yeah, is and it? Do you have something?
Into, right,
yeah,
exactly. They immediately go to an STD. So I know what a hemorrhoid is. I know what a fissure is. What is a fistula?
Sure, sure. So a fistula is kind of a connection or a tunnel that happens under the skin. So there are these glands inside everyone's ass, and the gland secretes some mucus. And sometimes the gland gets clogged. And then what happens is that instead of the gland not functioning, fluid finds its way out some other way. So what it is like a basically a big pimple that develops kind of around the area. It's painful. It's super painful. And then either it drains on itself like a zit that just pops, or someone like me or a specialist has to kind of open it and drain the infection. And then what winds up happening is that either it heals completely or it develops into a fistula, which is a connection from that gland to where the pimple was popped. And then that needs potential surgery depending upon whether it's simple or complex, and it can go kind of many different ways. Why, you got one of those?
Not, I heard of it. It was like, I ain't got insurance. You're not going to be able to help me if that's the problem. No, that came up over the weekend. I was like, oh, I'm going to find that out on Monday.
So let's go back a little bit. So my opinion here is I would definitely have the surgery. I want to put it out to you two, knowing the circumstance, and maybe even you, Dr. Goldstein, what would you guys do in this situation?
Well, I think that in his situation, he has to remain objective because he's also the doctor that would be performing the surgery.
But what if he was in the circumstance?
Now, if I were in this circumstance, to be honest with you, aside from wiping and cleaning and making sure that it's clean, I can't tell you the last time I looked in my butthole. It's either, listen, you want to fuck it, you fuck it. If you don't, you're lost. I mean, that's just my thing. I can't picture myself flipping my legs over my head and grabbing a mirror and trying to say, oh, it's
taking a
pretty.
Look at your own gully.
But
let's just say that like you did that situation 10 times and 10 times out of 10, some guy's like, I'm not fucking that thing.
Exactly. Valid point.
I must have a pretty one because I've never had that happen, but.
Oh, I guess I don't.
I'm just saying that, you know what, listen, in the end, it all revolves about. So it all surrounds the person's unique situation. Would I have it? I have not experienced that. I wouldn't be able to tell you how I would react to that. I can tell you that I have not. It's not something that I've ever experienced, so I really don't know how to react to that. But knowing the backstory and knowing how much psychological trauma this has caused this poor young man, I would say go for it. If it's going to help you live a better you and help you become a better person sexually for your partner, someone that you love, that will allow you to give yourself more of yourself to him, even if it takes you another year to recover, I'd say go for it. Because to me, I see that as a means of someone going out of their way to make sure that they are helping themselves. Because we all know when you're in a relationship and you have issues, it affects your partner. So if you're willing to take into consideration what you think your partner sees and your partner's willing to support you in that endeavor to better yourself, go for it. No one loses.
Chris?
If it's local anesthesia, no. If you're going to give me general, I'm in. I'll keep my response short.
Is that really what you want to say?
Yep.
Okay. So I hate to put you on the spot, but if you were in this situation, what do you think you would do?
No, I definitely think I would do it. It's just a matter of whether or not to go through both sides at the same time versus one side and kind of take it step by step. Specifically, I would probably do the step by step because what winds up happening, you know, he had two rough recoveries. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, because of the rough recoveries, and yes, I would give him Botox, and yes, I would do certain things to make the recovery better. But, you know, if I take two out with his bad recoveries before, you know, it's fucking painful. Yeah. You know, I mean, and it's a rough road. So I think I would go slow. Especially because I want to really make sure that what I'm doing is achieving his ultimate goal.
Right. And that's something. My ultimate goal. And really giving an answer. That would be something that I'd be worried about, especially like with having to work because, you know, you're going to have this, you know, these procedures done. And like you said, you go one side at a time. But if you're, you know, I'm in the restaurant industry, so I'm running around all the time. And I feel like that's got to be incredibly painful having a surgery like that. Just moving, it has to be a painful recovery.
It's usually about like 2 to 3 days that you're kind of hanging out by the house. You know, you're up and about and going, but you're kind of staying local. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you know, it's 1 to 2 weeks of not loving me. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Mostly around.
I think that's your tagline.
You'll love me in about 6 to 8 months.
Exactly.
Although I will say, it's kind of hard to imagine someone not loving you after doing that procedure.
You know, you're so sweet. You guys are so sweet.
We try.
You're not going to say that when he's got a scalpel on your butthole.
Hopefully I'll be knocked out.
Yeah. General.
I'm sorry. We didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No. And again, I think, first of all, most of it is sedation. So you don't need to be completely paralyzed. So general anesthesia, for the most part, is you're completely, you know, paralyzed, tubes in your mouth and all that stuff. For the most part, it's just sedation to make you comfortable and then a lot of anesthesia locally so you don't feel anything. But again, it's the 1 to 2 weeks of poop time, you know, taking shits that's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. But then every day gets better and better. And the Botox on board, kind of the local anesthesia component, things like that kind of help it along. So, but, you know, it's keeping the end goal in sight. You know what I'm saying?
Which can be a very painful road. But yeah, I mean, in his case, I think it would be something that he wants dearly. But now I have a question for you. So you have this procedure done and you're going through your recovery and you go and you poop and it hurts. And what do you do differently in when it comes to cleaning?
Yeah, I'd be afraid of infection.
Yeah, you know, it's such a vascular area. There's so many blood vessels there that realistically infection is low. And so a lot of it is, you know, most people try and time it that they go to the bathroom and they'll hop in the shower or they'll hop in the bath and kind of clean themselves that way. And as you feel more comfortable, you'll start getting a little bit more aggressive with the cleaning. I wouldn't say turn the bidet on and high power your asshole.
So do you recommend when someone has a procedure like that, as opposed to wiping right away, to jump in the shower and sort of kind of flush it with water instead?
Yeah, exactly. Most of the time it's more padding. So kind of pat so you're not shitting on your leg or anything like that. And then get yourself in the shower and then hop in the bath. And a lot of the, you know, using Epsom salt baths and kind of going that warm water route really gets you kind of through the poop process.
Okay.
You know, the story itself really struck me. Do you feel like you see a lot of patients that come in to your office that have been through similar situations like this? Where their first boyfriend just like went to town and did not take into account the person at all?
I think that a lot of it is, again, I'm only seeing one side of the story, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, I always kind of look at that there's probably two sides to every story. But regardless of that, yes, I see a lot of it. I see a lot of, you know, chem sex stuff where a lot of people are using, you know, enhancements and then things happen, whether it's a date rape situation. I mean, it's all over the books in terms of what people are coming to see me and also what people are willing to kind of divulge.
Hmm. One more random question. Do you think it's honestly physically possible as a gay male that's sexually active to go through their life without any hemorrhoids or fissures or any situation like that?
Very few and far between that would never have certain traumatic issues associated. And again, I think that, you know, a lot of people, if you're using it, it's going to get injured. You know, it's like, you know, just like driving a car. At some point, if you're driving the same car, it may break down a little bit. The tires may become flat. So there's certain things. But I think now that, you know, you guys are spearheading discussions and a lot of others are, that the popular press, that we're able to kind of talk about these issues to try and really get more to the meat of prevention, and the right way to engage. And all of these certain things to try and say, how do we prevent injury from happening? And the best thing is for people to kind of be educated on the science behind it.
I really think it's important. I mean, we've talked about it on the show a couple of times, but like for the longest time, especially in our culture in America, we don't talk about sex. You weren't raised talking about sex. There was always the talk that you receive, right? But we need to be...
Which we still ran from. I'm like, I don't want to have this conversation.
Mom, you don't even know what gay sex is.
We have a health class, thank you. But, and we've spoken about it.
But that's the thing. We need to start teaching LGBT sex stuff in health classes. Like, it's important that we know these things. Like, there's so much that I didn't know.
Well, I think one thing to that is that, yes, I think over time, the more and more we talk about it. But I think the realistic picture is that the teachers that are giving that class have no idea about LGBT issues. So it winds up being, how do we really work towards kind of retraining professionals, physicians, teachers, educators, kind of all of the sensitivities that go into it, and then being able to now deliver it the right way. So I think it's a lot more complex than just, hey, let's open this person's ass and shove it in, or the right way to do it. But I think that now people are talking about it in really great ways, that it's just a matter of time, and it'll happen.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I want to keep talking to him, but I feel like we should probably wrap it up. I do have a question about fisting, but we'll get there at a later date.
All right. Well, listen, Dr. Goldstein, thank you so much again for collaborating with us and doing this segment. We're going to be doing this every month. We're going to be sitting with you talking about one of your stories that you post on Medium.com. And if you guys want to check out the blog, you can go to Medium.com/@Dr. Evan Goldstein, and you can spell all that out in one word. You'll get the entire blog, all of the posts that we cover on the show, that we'll be talking about on the show with Dr. Evan Goldstein, are posted there, and you can view all those posts there on that blog as well. You know, if you guys are interested in you know, getting a consultation with the doctor himself, you know, you can do so by going to at Bespoke Surgical. They're on Facebook. There you'll find a phone number. You'll get the web address as well, and where you can schedule a consultation with Dr. Evan Goldstein, whether you're in LA, New York, or anywhere in between. You know, you'll have to travel, but you know, you'll get there eventually. You can do that. And we are super excited to continue to do this with you. This is our second segment that we did last week. We did, you know, from top to bottom, which was great. Thank you for sending us your snippet.
It was great.
And, you know, if our listeners have questions for the great doctor, for the great butt doctor, make sure that you, email us, it's gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. And, we'll definitely, relay that information to his team, and, hopefully we can get those questions answered for you.
Well, thank you guys so much. It was a pleasure. And yeah, anybody that has any questions or things that they feel are pertinent topics, by all means, we can write some stories and talk about it and then hash it out.
Fantastic. So thank you again for joining us, and you have yourself a fantastic afternoon. Well, at this point, evening.
Do you have any other plugs that you need to plug for yourself, though, before we let you go?
No, I think just Insta is a really great outlet, gives a lot of great, you know, Monday myths and tips and a lot of access to a lot of amazing knowledge that we're trying to share with everybody.
And what's the Insta?
It's at Bespoke Surgical.
Okay. Actually, that's the handle for all of your social media, right? So that's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So that's great. Yeah. Definitely check them out. We'll put some of that stuff also on our post today. And again, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next month.
All right, guys. Thanks
Bye.
Again.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Well, that was, again, our very first segment for Tales from the Tail with Dr. Evan Goldstein. And we'll be doing that, as we said before, monthly. We'll be doing this with the great doctor. So we're super excited, because this gives us the opportunity to actually learn so much from a anal sexual perspective. I mean, is there anything, Chris, for example, that you think that you could benefit from? Like, is there anything that you've ever had or wondered regarding your bum?
Well, it's just something that I've never experimented with. Okay. Or so it
I keep forgetting that you don't bottom.
It's the way I take this segment, as I do with everything in life. You know, there's always something to learn.
Put some butter on it and sprinkle some salt. But go ahead.
Lactose intolerant, so.
Okay.
Soy butter. no, like I said, I take, you know, everything in life, there's always something to learn. So I love this segment because I can look at it as an educational standpoint. Yeah. There are things, you know, if the time comes where I am interested in experimenting with something like that, I'm going to learn so much from hearing your stories, other people's stories, and Dr. Goldstein's stories, you know, about how to make sure that you're prepared and doing it safely.
I think it's, you know, I can't believe I shared that story with you guys today, but
you can't believe you share a lot of things.
I know.
You still do it anyway. You
I do it all
so
the time.
Well.
Valid.
Well, it's interesting to me. I feel like there's so much shame that surrounds sex and anal sex, and I've definitely carried around a lot of that shame in my life. And I think talking about what's natural and what has happened will help alleviate that shame.
And I think
I agree.
And I think the most important part of that entire conversation was a question that you asked, Nick, when you said, are there any people that engage in anal intercourse and have none of these issues? When he said far and few in between, like, you know, it's important because there might be people that are listening that are interested in maybe having anal intercourse or afraid of the idea of it, thinking that, you know,
something may happen.
But he's explaining that if you take care of, you know, he's doing the prevention part. That's what was so important that you brought up. If you make sure you take care of yourself and you prepare yourself, then you can avoid any of these unnecessary injuries, mm-hmm. as long as you're educated and prepared.
I think the biggest issue that we're facing as a community is that we become sexually active at a young age. Let's mm-hmm. be, I think I lost my virginity at 15 or 16.
And it's even lower now, I believe. Yeah. Now. On average, it's like 13 and now. It's sad.
And I didn't know what I was doing. You know what I mean? And you can find yourself in a situation like this gentleman that he talked about today.
Right, which is why I said
you guys just don't... it's not... You have to take it easy. It's like...
A public service announcement from us here at Gay Talk 2.0. Do not ram it in.
Take it slow and then go for it.
What was that? A purple service announcement?
No.
That's what it sounded like you
public.
Said.
Public?
Public service announcement from us here at Gay Talk 2.0.
Words are
Do
hard.
Not
proud of you.
Ram it in.
No, I'm really excited about our partnership with them.
And yeah, this is great.
And I want to reiterate to our listeners, please email us if you have questions. We'll keep it anonymous. We'll forward them off. If you just want to tell us that you love the segment or you don't like the segment, what we can do better about it, better with it, please just let us know. Because as we always develop new things, I love getting the feedback. The feedback's always great.
And if you have questions, we can relay them to Dr. Goldstein.
Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely.
I get to ask my questions on air, but...
Of course, this bitch has a public consultation, never mind a private one. All right, so listen, we've got a couple
He's
of stories...
He's going to start billing us.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Okay, talk credit card. Not happening. Anyway, so we've got some stories that we need to cover. I know that, we try to, like, ram 10 pounds of shit in a 4-pound bag, but that's how we do. But I wanted to talk about something that just... It's been very dear and...
Near
and dear to my heart, and it has been since it started. So we talked about a couple of weeks ago, actually, like over a month ago, and where Sally Field was trying to hook up her son. How great is that? With Adam Rippon, mm-hmm. right? And so she posted something on social media, and then there was a back and forth going on, and... Sally was like, you know, you have to do it. And they were like, oh, eventually they're going to meet or whatever because they're going back and forth on Twitter.
Yeah, and she put her son on blast.
She sure did, in the best way possible. And let's face it, you know, he's a very, very beautiful young man. And so...
They both are.
Sam, who's Sally's son, Sam Greisman, ended up putting... tweeting. So he tweeted this. This was February 16th of 2018. He tweeted, he said, I hate being earnest, but an openly non-passing, sassy, beautiful, gay, 20-something, daring America not to love him and becoming the sweetheart of the Olympic Games is very moving to me. That statement in itself is just acceptance. It has acceptance written all over it.
Totally.
You know, and so... Of course, we all know the story. Sally Field, of course, went and, you know, tweeted and said, you know, I got this, baby. I'm going to help you out. You know, I'm going to use my star power to make sure that you get your man. But anyway, so what ended up happening is he replied. Adam Rippon replied to Sally Field and said, you know, oh, she bold. And eventually they ended up meeting. So he retweeted a picture of him and Adam Rippon over at the Human Rights Campaign Gala in Los Angeles. And he basically tweeted a picture of him and Adam saying, thanks, Mom. And it's beautiful. And I love it.
So I hope we get more info about this. And I hope there's a follow-up because maybe they go on a date. Maybe they don't. But
it doesn't matter. Either way, I hope there's a wedding. Because mm-hmm. think about it. Who would not want to have Sally Field as their mother-in-law? I know I would. She was my favorite character in Brothers and Sisters.
She's pretty.
Do you remember
amazing.
That show?
Yes.
Oh, that was one of my favorite shows. I was so mad when ABC canceled it.
And she's a super sweetheart, by the
way.
Yeah,
she is.
Are you guys looking at the picture right now?
Yeah.
I think we found where Sean Spicer's been hiding.
Ah, You see that bitch in the background? It looks just like her.
No.
Spicy. Spice is going to go to jail, that bitch. Anyway, so I thought that was sweet, and I love that story. I constantly, like, scour the internet. Actually, Nick found this for me today. But I'm constantly looking for updates on this because I really want to see these two end up together. I think they would be cute together.
What a cute little love story, right?
Right?
I mean, it would be amazing. Like, Mom, stop trying to hook me up. We had that conversation last week, but
Mom, we're getting married.
that would be adorable. I mean, if she wants to tweet Adam Rippon for me, but that woman can't even get on Facebook, so my mother.
Exactly.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I do love your grandmother, though. Do you want to talk about your sister a little bit?
Oh, God. Yeah, sure. Why?
Because, you know, she started doing this whole thing that she was doing, and she went on Twitter. She went live, and she was...
Not Twitter. Facebook.
Facebook. Excuse me. She went on Facebook Live, and she was talking about some of her health initiatives and things like that and stuff that she was working on, and she had Grandma on there with her. What a cutie.
Yeah. So my grandmother is amazing, and so is my grandfather, but today my sister went... She goes on Facebook Live, and she talks about... different things. Today was commitment. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't about commitment in relationships. However, she did talk to my grandmother about being, she's 62 years married.
But they've known each other for 68 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was cute.
It was totally cute. But my grandma, the way she was like, well, do you have any advice for, you know, everybody that's watching right now? And she was like, you know what? You're not going to agree on everything. Just try. And you know what? Spend time together. Do things together. And that's all it is. And I was like, Grandma! Then it's 2:30, and you see her grab her glass of wine and start drinking it.
My kind of
while
grandma.
While my sister's talking about committing to, like, fitness goals, she's just like, don't tell them that it's 2:30. She's like, I won't, Grandma. Meanwhile, the whole thing's live. Yeah.
It's amazing. I thought it was the cutest thing ever. All right, so Christopher, you have a story for us.
I do. And this one, just coincidentally, has to do with Long Island. It really wasn't even a choice. It just actually came out of there. It's a small two paragraphs. I'm going to read. It's reported from The Advocate. Trudy Ring wrote the article. But I think it's very important because it shows progress for protections and equality when it comes to the LGBT community. So I'm going to go ahead and read it real quick. It was Donald Zarda lived a life of adventure and accomplishment, excelling at electronics and technology, jumping out of planes and off cliffs, and teaching his skills to others. But his greatest accomplishment came in advancing LGBT rights, and it's one he didn't live to see. Zarda, he had passed away, which is why we're covering this. So Zarda, was fired from his job as a skydiving instructor by Long Island-based Altitude Express in 2010 after telling a client he was gay. The company claimed there were other reasons for his dismissal, but he sued, saying his employer discriminated against him because of his sexual orientation. After he died in an accident in 2014 at the age of 44, his estate continued to pursue the case, and last month it resulted in a significant ruling from a federal appeals court that existing civil rights laws against sex discrimination cover sexual orientation as well. So that is a big win for the LGBT community, especially with the administration we have, with
that's
a federal
amazing.
Court yeah. covering that.
Now, claps for that, seriously, because that's an amazing thing. And, you know, it's sad that he wasn't able to live to see this day and that, you know, it had to carry through his estate. But could it have anything to do with the ruling that came not too long ago regarding the same thing and where the existing civil rights laws...
And the Third Circuit Court, right?
Yes. Yeah. That, you know, sexual orientation was covered as part of, you know, being discriminated against from a sexual perspective.
Very well could have been.
Yeah. I mean, I think they probably, you know, the judges probably looked at it in a similar facet
right.
as the Third Circuit Court did as well. But I mean, it's amazing that this guy, he passed away. He lived an openly happy life. He had an amazing job. He lost his job. And now we're seeing that happen. Continuously still, people lose their jobs when people find out that they're gay or bisexual or transgender or whatnot. And the fact that we're finally seeing some forward movement within our community, within the United States, about protecting our rights to work openly as we are is beautiful. And that's what this man's legacy will be now. And that's the beauty within it.
Absolutely. Gay rights are human rights.
So, you know, we will have to, you know, when you think about Edie Windsor, you know, she's the one that sued the state of California And as a result of her and Obergefell and their efforts, we got marriage equality. And now we have to remember another name, and that is Donald Sarda.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, eventually when we look back, we'll say, you know, this case,
right.
his courage to face his employers is the reason why that we have protections for the LGBT community within that encompass that our current civil rights laws.
Absolutely.
And I think it's
anti-discrimination laws.
I think it's important to empower people as well. If you're in a situation where you have lost a job or could potentially lose your job because you're gay and you can't come out in the workplace, that's not okay. That's not okay whether you want to be out or you don't want to be out. If you have that feeling at all and you're listening to this show, you have the power and the right to go and speak to somebody that could potentially help you fix that workplace, whether it's for you, whether you leave that company or not, whether you've already left that company. It's not just for you because it's for the future of our community.
Exactly.
And just really know that, you know, according from, you know, the foundation of our nation, we're all guaranteed life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. No one is going to go against our Constitution, you know, as the Declaration, but that's our Constitution protects us as people. And these wow. states that are trying to run rogue on these effects to allow this kind of discrimination will not be allowed.
I would say that, you know what, it's a step in the right direction, but we definitely have a lot more work to do. A lot more work mm-hmm. to do, because clearly what we have, what we find ourselves right now from an administrative perspective, as far as the people that are running the White House, is very scary for a lot of people. You know, so, all right. So.
It is scary, but it's super scary where we are right now, but that's not a reason to not still feel empowered. I would like to think that we can take a moment and look back and think about our previous administration and feel the strength within that administration to force forward our movement and be honest and out and proud, because that's the only way we're going to get through this, is to embrace what was, so that we can hold on to it and move forward.
Embrace what was and strive for what's coming.
Right.
And absolutely. Prepare for it and be able to fight when that fight right. comes, and that, you know, we're better suited, we're better prepared to face the adversity that's coming our way.
Because this isn't it. You know, Trump era is yeah. not going to be for that much longer. You know, we're going to get through this first term, and who knows how the next one's going to go.
Maybe 6 years. You know, we do have a countdown on our website, by the way. It says 2.5 years. 2.5 years left.
Well, hopefully we're not like a Weather Channel and getting that wrong. But don't let Gallup poll get in on this, because that's a fucking disappointment.
Bye, Felicia. Anyway, so I know that we're trying to wrap up the show, but I just saw that there was another story by our dear Nick here that he was going to talk about that involves Ellen. And I think that it should be said, because it is important, and it talks about something that we've talked about on the show before. So, Trish, why don't you tell us what you have for us?
Well, first of all, it's Ellen.
Yeah, of course.
And we all know that I love Ellen. I am Ellen. No, well, seriously, there are pictures where I look exactly like her.
Yeah, in like 1912.
But so Ellen and a couple other celebrities, whatever, cursive.
Mess.
just boycotted Bermuda.
As a country.
I called for this before. You remember that when we were having this conversation? Why did she call for a boycott?
So it has been less than a year since Bermuda's Supreme Court legalized marriage equality in May of 2017. But now new measures have been passed within the last month that places a ban on same-sex marriage once again. So Ellen DeGeneres was supposed to vacation there, and she's decided to not vacation there, and she's calling for others to do the same thing. And the importance that we're bringing this up is we've won marriage equality here, and there are plenty of other nations that have, just like Bermuda. This could happen here just like it's happening in Bermuda, and we have to be aware, we have to be woke, we have to be just listening to what is going on. And when things like this happen, just like Ellen, we need to say no.
Correct.
Right. And this is the first nation in the world to overturn a marriage equality bill. Not even a bill, law. Excuse me.
Well, has it really? I'm not sure it's been overturned completely yet, though. So they have put measures in to overturn it, but I don't think those have been passed as of current. That's why they're boycotting. I believe that's the point of the boycott to stop those measures from being
pushed through? The measures will go into effect at the end of May. So by May, no more same-sex couples will be legally allowed to wed. So now people are, you know, groups are scrambling to get married. Couples are scrambling to get married.
So that their weddings could remain legal. Because I think they're going to recognize, as you said, the ones that have already happened.
Prior to May.
Yeah.
When it goes into effect. I'm almost positive that their parliament, I'm assuming they have parliament, was passed this.
Well, I mean, I look at it this way. I haven't been went to Bermuda once.
They will go into effect in the end of May. You're right.
I went to Bermuda once. It's not all that. And I don't plan to go back to it again.
You know what? Just go to Key West. Go somewhere else.
Yeah, go somewhere gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, gay and happy. Trust me when I tell you, you'll have the best time of your life. It is absolutely amazing.
But okay, now I'm going to take it a different way. Remember when North Carolina was getting, they were getting their boycotts for the HB2? Was it HB2? And certain...
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, and certain performers, like a lot of people, performers or even the...
Companies.
Companies and sports leagues were pulling...
The NCAA said that they were going to pull.
Thank you, NCAA. Yeah. They were pulling out, and then, you know, we were talking, and I don't know what artist said it, maybe it was when we had Melissa Etheridge on the show, that these are people that need to go in, and they need to stay present, and they need to have their voices out there, because they're the voice for those people who are feeling the oppression. It's the allies that are the ones should be
pulling out
and boycotting it, where we go in and we stay present and we let it be known that you will not tread on us. Like, you can try to put us down, but we're going to be visible, we're going to be woke, we're going to be vocal, and we're going to stand with our brothers and sisters until we get this turned around.
Well, no, and you can stand with someone and say, hey, listen, you know, I support the fact that you're fighting for your rights, but at some point they're going to have to take that up upon themselves, because they're the ones that live there and they're the ones that have to deal with that.
Right.
The rest of us, we can hurt them, not our community, but hurt the people who are passing these laws can be hurt where it hurts the most.
Right.
In the pockets.
Right. But when you boycott a nation and you boycott their economy, it's essentially sanctioning them. So when you're hurting the people who are running the country, who do you think are the ones who are really getting the brunt of who's...
Obviously, people are still going to go there from other countries. That's just fact of life.
And I'm not saying
not
this is a bad thing.
Not everybody's going to jump on board. But as we've seen with the state of North Carolina, when pressure hits,
right,
and funds are not there, and they're afraid that they're not going to have the monetary monies that they're used to do whatever it is that they like to do with all this extra cash that they get from all these events. When people start pulling back, that financial strain lights a match in someone's ass and say, do we really want to do this?
Oh,
so
absolutely.
There's two sides to that. You have the side of where, you know, one can benefit from it because it really pushes some to question their initial decision to begin with. And then there's others that also have to, you know, come together and fight that fight as well.
Here's the thing. I agree with Chris 100%. I think that in countries where or states where people are being oppressed, the LGBT community, we need to go in and we need to be visible and have these concerts or have these things. However, I think in this situation, it's slightly different, right? Because Ellen's not going there
She's going there for vacation. That's what I get, right.
But what's great about what she did in this situation is Ellen is, for lack of better, she, besides Oprah, she's like the biggest international celebrity anyone knows, right? She's not a movie star. She's not this. She's not that. But she has such an international presence. And a tweet like this, calling for other people to cancel their vacation plans or just bring light to a situation that's happening, will put pressure on Bermuda as a whole.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And that's what happened in North Carolina. I'm not saying, hey, listen, let's bankrupt Bermuda and not, you know, allow for their people to have a means to be able to live and support themselves because, you know, they rely mostly on tourism. But just for a little bit. Because that's all they need to feel. They just need to feel that little bit of pressure before someone's light bulb goes off in their head. Oh, man, I think we made the wrong decision.
Right.
And go back and fix it.
Especially when it ends with that they were getting defeated by a person of the LGBT community.
Yeah.
And then that's even harder.
And that's the in the gut. And I love that. All right. So let's jump into Gay Talk Terms and on this day in gay history and wrap up the show because there's so much that we need to do afterwards. And I love it.
Okay. Right.
So who would like to go first?
I always go first. So.
All right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, your Gay Talk Term, of course, brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
Is, yes, it is. Does it wink?
This bitch just grabbed a car.
So, again, your Gay Talk Term is does it wink, which means you're inquiring about an uncircumcised cock.
Get out.
For example, remember that hunky number you met at the varsity? Well, tell me, does it wink?
Oh, okay.
So winking would be uncircumcised.
An uncircumcised penis, yes.
Yeah. Gotcha.
If you ask someone, does it wink, referring to their... Obviously, if they wink at you, that's not like...
Yeah, well, I knew that, but I'm like saying going if into it's like a winking, freaking... that means it's uncut.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you know, I hear so many people tell me that they don't like uncut penises, right?
They're beautiful.
They are like my favorite thing. So I empower everybody that listens to our show to give that uncircumcised penis a chance.
Yes.
Trish well, for see, docking.
I've always said, listen, I, before my
human
truck.
Human rights for uncircumcised penises.
before my truck, I have always had convertibles. And I love my penises like my convertibles.
I was you like, where are you going?
Push a button and the top comes off and you're like, yas. There it is. How are you? I love them. I'm sorry.
But if it's like a 1920s convertible, it never had any top to go on it.
That's okay. Even if it's a hard top, it still comes off. You pull it back, sit down, and enjoy the ride.
Anyway.
Oh my.
So.
Chris.
All right.
So on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
On today, March 12th, 1995, in Cambodia.
Ooh.
Okay, ready? Names and places. Give me a moment. Okay. Right. Kav Soka and Pum Ith are married in the village of Krobao Akkak.
You know what? Chris, I'm proud of you. That was pretty good.
Okay.
Say right. The village name again.
One time. That's all that matters. I got it. Nailed it. Soka says, quote, the authorities thought it was strange, but they agreed to tolerate it because I have three children already from a previous marriage. They said that if we were both single and childless, we would not be allowed to get married because we could not produce children. So they were allowed by the Cambodian government, essentially, to get married because they already had children. The wedding had about 250 guests, including Buddhist monks and high officials from the province.
Get out.
In Cambodia in 1995.
That's crazy.
Oh,
95. When was the first... What was it, Massachusetts?
That was 28 years ago.
And yeah. And it wasn't Massachusetts. What was the state that first legalized it? Delaware. Rhode Island.
No. Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Was Mass the first?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know. I was thinking it was Rhode Island. Anyway, but
Florida
that wasn't even 90...
in it for a little bit, and then they sort of kind of, yeah, no, we're not going to touch it, but it was Mass. Yeah.
But I don't even believe that was 95, when one of the states of the greatest country in the world,
no,
the United States.
I thought it was 2002.
Exactly. So I'm saying in Cambodia, 1995, a gay couple was wed.
That's awesome.
Incredible. So,
but the fact that they only allowed them.
Yeah, exactly. It was like circumstantial.
Children, it's like, you know. And the fact that they even think, you know, well, okay, I have to keep in mind that this is 1995 mentality.
Right.
But the fact that you think that just because you're gay or you're homosexual that you can't procreate, I don't think so. It's not. No. We can have kids. If I chose to, give me a turkey baster and I'll go to town. But
oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's move this shit on.
Let's close it out.
All right. All right. Goodbye. Good night, guys. No, I'm kidding. All right, so listen, if you love our show, you can help us in one of three ways to let others know about the show and to ensure it becomes more visible within our podcasting community. You can, one, subscribe to the show. By doing so, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. You can rate and review our show. You can do so on iTunes. You can also on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play Music for our Android listeners, as well as Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, and all the other amazing podcatchers out there. You can support us on Patreon. Thank you to our new Patreon, Kim, for donating and helping us out.
And I will continue to bring you gay animal stories.
Oh, and thank you for bringing forward that gay animal story that she sent us.
I actually knew about it, but we didn't talk about it, but all that's right. Okay.
But we will. So thank you. And so, yeah, if you would like to become a Patreon donor, you can do so by going to our webpage, clicking on the Patreon banner there. And all you have to do is just sign up and subscribe. We collect our funds monthly. It could be anywhere between a dollar or whatever it is that you want to give. So anything helps, and we thank you for it.
Next week, we welcome Todd Steer, a member of the bisexual community, who is also a part of the whole LGBTQ community. Let's not forget about the B.
I'm excited, though.
And he's going to be joining us to tell his story. As we asked a couple weeks ago, we asked if anybody in the bisexual community wanted to come out and tell their story, and he does, and we're super excited to chat with him.
And it's important because I feel that, you know, the bisexual community and the transgender community are one of the most... two of the most underrepresented groups in our community. And I think that, you know, putting a spotlight on them and learning about them is certainly beneficial for all of us.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you three times, Trish, to our guest, Dr. Goldstein, for joining us for our first collaborative segment, Tales of a Tale. You get claps again. You know, we greatly appreciate your commitment to the community through education, experience, and advice. For more on his blog, visit medium.com and search Dr. Evan Goldstein.
Yeah, it's medium.com/@ with the at symbol, Dr. Evan Goldstein. And you can access them on all of social media, whether that's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at Bespoke Surgical.
Mm-hmm.
And cool. We all were able to get a little cursive in that closing.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally.
Hey, we don't discriminate
show,
here.
You know, it's like, listen, people, I want to tell you something. Freaking Guinnesses are really, really, really strong.
It's a meal.
Car bombs.
Pretty much. Exactly.
Delicious, nutritious. Can we put a rubber on this, please?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Alrighty, guys. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, please. You can find us on social media, Facebook, gaytalk2.0, Instagram, gaytalk2.0, Twitter, at GayTalk20. You can email us at GayTalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, you can just head on over to our website and click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser, where you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for an individual host like Chris does all the time.
Hello.
He gets them all. And you can also call us. You can call us at 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need those numbers, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we stream live every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.